We want to welcome you to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. I am the host of the program and also have the privilege of pastoring at Brookside Baptist Church right here in Brookfield, Wisconsin. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, chancellor at Northern Baptist Bible College, is away on a ministry opportunity. And for the last number of broadcasts, we have had a wonderful guest in our studio with us, Dr. Marty Vaughn. And Dr. Vaughn has been speaking to us on the topic of prayer. As the Vice President for Ministry Affairs, Dr. Vaughn teaches a course at Northern Baptist Bible College on the study of prayer, and he has been working us through some of the material from that course. And last time we were together, we were talking really about the disciplines of prayer. And you mentioned there were five of them, and we have looked really in depth at the first of those disciplines, the discipline of time. What is the second discipline?
The second discipline of prayer, Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. Now, that tells me that of a particular place of prayer. It's interesting if you look into the traditions of Scripture and some of what is said, commentaries vary on what the closet was. Many people think, and all of these, I believe, fit the idea of prayer. Some people say the closet was a special place in the home where treasures were kept, the peculiar treasures, the valuables were kept, literally almost a safe room. And so what greater way to picture that in the value of prayer, because such great value that prayer has. So it's a precious treasure that God has given us to pray. Other people have declared this particular closet to be a place where staples were kept, the necessary goods, like a pantry.
Yeah.
Kind of like a pantry.
Or storeroom of some sort.
Storeroom of some sort. And so, again, what a beautiful connection to prayer, because it's a necessary staple of our life. And then for some, they say it was an extra room, just the place where I suppose our wives, pastor, would keep this stuff that they bought at the yard sale. So when we have our yard sale, we can re-enter it.
Into
How many times have our wives done that?
Well, I have to do it surreptitiously. I've got to find somebody else that's got a yard sale and just take it over in the middle of the night.
That's right. There you go. But it was that extra room. But the point is, it's a place of discipline, and the discipline of the closet is a discipline of humility. Because if we're really going to continue in prayer, we have to realize that being behind closed doors is a place where God shows me and can show me what I am. You know, and we talked about this and wrestled through this when we were talking about the discipline of time, the aspect of, and you ask a very significant question, because I've had people respond to me with that question. And you, in the discussion of that discipline, you said, well, what about the person who says, I just pray all the time, every day. I don't have this special set aside time or a place where I come to pray. And I think what is missing in that is the discipline of humility. Because when and I know you've experienced this too, because you have told me about being convicted about things as you brought them before the Lord that particular morning. But for me, being into a closet, a place where God can deal with me, it's just He and I alone. The world is shut out, and we're going to talk about that, because one of the disciplines has to do with shutting the door. Mm-hmm. And so when you enter into your closet, it's a discipline of humility. It's a behind-the-scenes experience. In fact, one person said it like this, that we should not pray publicly unless we have learned to pray privately. Hmm. And there is no place for public prayer unless you are a person of private prayer. Because really what a person is what he does behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Someone has said character is what you are in the dark. Character is what you are when no one is watching. And here in the closet is where God meets with you. Here's where a person sees God. And when I see God, I deal honestly with myself. It's the picture that I'm sure Dr. Olala has shared maybe with our listeners already, in the aspect when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. But what did I have to come to first? I saw, woe is me, and great is He. Mm-hmm. And so before humility is honesty. And when I'm alone with God and I'm focusing on Him, this is where he meets with me. And you know, it's so wonderful, the fact that, and I think sometimes, and see if you're a pastor and see if you can speak to this point as well. But so often I think people in some congregations, it seems like there's one of two extremes. One extreme is make everybody happy and don't give them the truth or don't talk about sin. And then I think there's the other extreme where a person sits and they feel like they can't do anything right because they're beat down. They're told, you know, this is how to be a Christian. This is what you have to perform. This is what you have to do. Make sure that you wear this, do this, look like this, act like this, yep. And et cetera, et cetera. And so people are so – they're either in a congregation where – it's exhilaration and everybody's happy and they're throwing their arms in the air and shouting out of control and acting like all that the Christian life is about is happiness and joy. When those people hit the reality of the hurts and the adversities of life, which, by the way, Jesus said would come. And Paul said that I may know the fellowship of his suffering. Mm-hmm. So the Christian life is not just happy, 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 which is, I think, the grandiose thing that people look for. And yet there's the other side where people feel so beat down, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what I find? When I meet with God, he brings all of that into perfect balance. Because when I meet alone with him, he as a father deals with me as a child. And he so graciously lets me know what areas of my life that he wants to work on. And he so wonderfully, his conviction is so persuasive and it's so compassionate that it's, I want to change because he lets me know. Now, we're talking here about the discipline of humility. And this discipline, that's why we enter into the closet, because it's a discipline of behind mm-hmm. the scenes where God can deal with me. I know I've seen you compassionately correct your little son, R.D., and what do? It's Daddy and he alone mm-hmm. talking through this event or this issue or this situation, and it's behind the scenes. And the humility, therefore, is not a shame.
Right.
It's a joy.
Right. And it's really a submission. It's a really submission. Me, you know, I found a quote here. As you were talking about honesty as being part of humility, it is rarely the big compellings of God that get hold of me in prayer. Instead, I tell God what I should do or what he should do. I tell him that men are being lost and that he ought to save them. This is a terrific charge against God. It means that he might be asleep. Prayer with us often becomes merely a way of patronizing God. In other words, I want to tell God what I think he should do and what I know he should do, and then I stop praying if he doesn't act how I think he should act, when I think he should act, or in the way I think he should act.
That's so powerful. I mean, we've both experienced this where people literally have got so bitter or so resentful at God. I call it bringing God into court.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens. So how do you develop this discipline of humility? I mean, how does God bring this about in your life?
Well, I think we really have to recognize here, as anyone has done, that prayer without the Word of God can be just words. But it's the refreshing power of the Word of God. And as I would come to your church and hear you speaking about a particular area or something from the Word, and as I read God's Word, and then as I meet with him in prayer, he brings the word alive mm-hmm. in my life. And I realize that, yes, a soft answer to my wife is necessary. Not an impatient answer, a soft answer. A gentle response is necessary here, where he says to me, you know, you are very, to the opposite of the word that you use, submission. The opposite of submission is stubbornness.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are being stubborn about this matter. You are acting in your own agenda here. You're not allowing me to work. And so the discipline of humility comes in aloneness with God, where I'm honest about me before him, and he brings me along and shows me this. You cannot have humility without honesty, because honesty precedes humility. Because if a person is not honest, they live in self-deceit. And if they live in self-deceit, God's spirit is grieved, and so there will never be a humility. So the closet, which is the second discipline, is a discipline of humility. The closet provides that setting for that to take place.
You know, I've never had the courage to do this, And and maybe someday I'll, you know, maybe it's just my pride that stands in the way, but I've often thought, you know how you can listen to a person talk to another person, and by the way that that person talks and by what that person talks about, you can pick up that person's spirit to that other person?
Exactly.
It would be interesting to record our prayers in our prayer closet.
Oh, we're going to get to that discipline.
This
excitement is coming when we get to vain repetitions.
Well, I'm going to have a ministry trip somewhere when we talk about that. But really, just to get a tape recorder and to put it in there and to record yourself praying to God and then go through the very painful process of playing that tape back.
Oh, we have to bring this up later in the discipline that's coming on vain repetitions, because you are so on target with that statement. And see, I think sometimes, as even as you read here from Chambers' book on the holy occupation of prayer, I think so often what has happened is that people don't take quiet time. To be honest, it's like he said, you paraphrased it for us so vividly there when you said, we patronize God. It's like, God, what can you do? Mm-hmm. What can you do for me? Well, the closet is a place where God says, listen, you're my child, and here's what needs to happen in
right.
your life.
Right.
And without that quiet moment before God, we go rushing on. And when we go rushing on, our problem is that we can become so quickly deceived. Self-deceit is the great hindrance to humility. Mm-hmm. But it's a great hindrance to humility because it prohibits honesty. And so honesty precedes humility. And so it's in this closet, it's the discipline of humility, where God says, whispers, if as it were, listen, remember what you read this morning in my word? This is you. Remember how you spoke to your wife, how you spoke to your children, how you spoke to that fellow mm-hmm. church member? Mm-hmm. This was not wise. You did not act with discretion
right.
here.
Right.
And so that's the second discipline.
And, you know, that's the hard discipline. I mean, when we were talking about time, I was sitting there thinking, how in the world are we going to get this in our life? But that's easy compared to this one. Well, this has been a wonderful broadcast, Marty, and you've helped us a great deal with understanding the discipline of humility. Those of you who are listening, I hope that you'll write us or call us or email us and let us know how the Lord is using this series of broadcasts in your own life. Obviously, we depend on your gifts and your prayers to be able to stay on the air. And for those of you that send a donation of $10 or more into the Word for Life radio broadcast, we'll receive a copy of Dr. Olala's latest publication, his devotional journal, Manna. You can send your letters, your comments, or your donation for a copy of Manna to the address here at the end of the broadcast. Again, thank you for listening, and we look forward to joining you again next time for the Word for Life radio broadcast.